This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
We went off the rails on that conversation off the air, but it is like one of those things.
So we're just done with phrasing, right? That's not a thing anymore.
Well, this is the last day of school before a holiday, and that's how we act.
We're watching a movie.
But I feel I'm happy for one. First of all, again.
No.
His wife put her on on a mantle. God bless you.
You know what we need to do? Because we all wish that it was more people like Juan's wife in the world. And we have great wives, but I don't know if my wife would have did that. I want to get
Juan's. My wife would, 100%.
I want to get Juan's information. We need to send Juan's wife a gift from the show.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
Because she just did that for men everywhere that would wish that their wives or their significant others would take the L for us because we scared as hell to do that.
they tend to always take on the toughest jobs, don't they?
My point. That's why women rule the world. That's why we love women, because they do the things that we're too selfish to do for ourselves. She knew that he was a wimp. She said, you know what? I got this. We don't want no more kids. I got this. You just go home and you make sure that you baste that damn turkey tomorrow. You make sure that you baste it.
Whoa, at least is that what we're calling it these days? I see you.
The actual turkey. Because she's going to be out of the game for a minute.
Poor Anthony. Whatever gray hair is left is now falling out.
So get Juan's wife information so we can send us.
Yeah, Juan's got a call now. He's got a call or shoot us a DM or something.
We should get her a wine and cheese basket because she's going to be laid up so she can do that and then give her a bottle of a Han wine so she can sip and get a little nice little buzz, you know what I'm saying, while she's chilling, watching Waiting to Exhale. No, we don't want Juan to get cut. Not Waiting to Exhale. What's a good love movie? Titanic. Hell, you watch Titanic or something.
Might need to watch How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Or She's Gotta Have It.
11 years.
Shout out to Mary, too. She got some great wine out there, too. I'll do a free promotion for Mary.
Yeah. Maybe you told me about Patty's Pies.
Yeah, yes.
Somebody sent me a link. Apparently at Walmart, they're selling out.
Yeah, every year, bro. It's like crap. Like,
I got to get to Walmart quick.
Or go to the hood, go to the barbershop, and tell them you need some Patty Pies. I guarantee you they got them at the barbershop.
You mean that there's a shelf that, like, if you press a button, the shelf moves away and there's somebody back there?
I mean, you can get Social Security card, you can get license tabs, you can get...
So I'm going to walk in. I'm going to walk into a barbershop, and they're going to look at me and be like, what the hell? Are you lost? And I'm like, oh, I'm here for Patty Pies.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Man, you don't bring. Right, you don't say that here. You go around the back. Exactly. You don't ask for that here.
Yeah. First of all, drive around the block, park at the end of the block, and walk up. Meet Pedro. Pedro gonna tell you to go meet Juan. Juan gonna tell you to go meet Michi. Then Michi gonna give you the pie. You get the money to Pedro first.
Michi, and then I'll be the guy that pays Michi. Michi, then all of a sudden I see him running away, and I turn around waiting for Pedro. Going, where's my pie? What do you mean pie? I paid him.
Pies.
I don't know who that is.
And go to Popeye's, get you a deep fried turkey, too. That's on the low. Deep fried turkey.
I had to put that out there in the world, too, because somebody said that fried turkey is terrible. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Are they high? That's the most, like, juicy thing. And listen, let me tell you about how I do my fried turkey when I feel like cooking. I take me some potatoes, cut them up, put them inside of the turkey. Put herbs and spices in it. Inject the turkey with some cloves of garlic, butter, some herbs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Take some butcher string, tie the turkey legs up so that, you know, it keeps everything in. Drop it in.
What's the safe word here, Bart?
Pineapples. Drop it down in there. What happens is the potatoes are going to cook for an hour, but they're not going to burn because they're protected by the turkey. So then they're going to come out crispy fried and softened inside the herbs. Then when you cut it, the juice from the lemon juice, all the herbs that you shot in there, the butter, when you cut it, that thing going to run out. It's going to be so juicy and wet, man. Mm-mm. Tastes so good, make you want to smack your mama. Come here, mama. Stop. Brothers, barbecue. That's how good that damn fried turkey be. But you have a traditional turkey, too, because I love gravy. Me, I love gravy. Like, my favorite thing is biscuits and gravy, man, from Crackle Barrel. You know what I'm saying? So I'm always looking for that sausage, that Bob Evans, that white gravy.
I know what you're talking about.
Sage sausage in it.
Yeah.
Put on top of any type of biscuit, bread,
by the way,
gravy.
Bob Evans, you get that breakfast.
Yeah. See, everybody don't know about these young whippersnappers, man. They all about this. Ooh, I want to go to the Waffle House. Shut up.
That biscuit.
Find you a Bob Evans. And listen, you'll never find Bob Evans in any place that's populated. Mm-hmm. You got to be driving, and when you see some horses, you see some corn stalk, you see some patches, you see horses and alpacas, just stop. And put in Bob Evans a Cracker Barrel, and it'd be one probably about 2 or 3 miles.
If you're here for the Bob Evans, aren't you?
Uh-huh. Go ahead and buy around back. Yeah, you like that biscuit gravy.
You go down to that oak tree. You make a ride at the oak tree.
Yeah, Bob Evans. It's just going to come out of nowhere.
Four mailboxes.
Oh,
then you go see Wilbur, and you tell Wilbur, you said...
You've been
we're 10
gravy?
Minutes into this damn thing. I got to stop with this.
Right,
we got stuff to do.
Okay.
We got callers to get to. We got Blitz or Prevent to do.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
We got a couple of Thanksgiving games to do first. Let's do the 4:30 game on Fox. That would be Washington at Dallas, both 3-7, as we know, because...
Call that the Bumbo.
Yeah, that is a trash division, but somebody got to win it. It's on Fox. Dallas is favored by 3 in this thing at Jerry World. Now, Dallas is, to be serious, Dallas gone through a lot this season.
Yeah.
The Dak Prescott injury. They dumped a bunch of underperforming players that they signed. Questions about Mike McCarthy's effectiveness as a leader. Then that hit on Andy Dalton where there was no response. They got criticized for that.
You don't get hit this week.
Well, and then McCarthy then goes all Gallagher in the locker room. You see that? He's just smashing up different things.
I wonder if he had the eye covers.
He put on the eye cover? I wonder if one was a pumpkin just so you can show there's nothing inside. And then the news yesterday, though, a serious one about Marcus Paul, his team strength coach, who had a medical emergency. He's on life support. Last, I believe, we checked.
Wow.
And, of course, our thoughts and our prayers and the best to his family. We hope he does find a way to recover. He's a former Jets and Giants assistant, by the way, but it led to practice being canceled. Somehow, the Cowboys now have to stay focused on playing and winning football games.
Yes,
because the division is still very much there for the taking. In fact, this game could be a tone setter, Bart. Based on strength of schedule, they should be the odds-on favorite to win the division. They have one of the easiest schedules to finish. Blitz or Prevent? But who do you trust more in a pressure situation, Alex Smith or Andy Dalton? Clearly, Dalton has better weapons at his disposal, but do you trust him to lead the Cowboys to an improbable division championship to finish this season?
Listen, I've said all along that I like the odds of I like what Alex Smith is doing. I just think their schedule after Dallas gets a little bit too hard. Andy Dalton has played in a tough division. You know, I mean, he's won that division a couple of times. He's been to the playoffs. He's an accomplished quarterback, but I still like Alex Smith and what he's playing for right now, and I like his weapons. I like the fact that he has a defense, and, you know,
that's the key.
The Dallas offense has gotten so bad that they add Zach Martin, an all-world guard, to play tackle. They're going to need him this week, but I don't know how he's going to play in space against Kerrigan, who's Washington's all-time sack getter, and also Chase Young, who's outstanding as well, and Montez Sweat. I think if they're able to get to Dalton early, I think that can throw the rails off from all those great, you know, receivers that he has, and I think that could be the eraser for that. So I'm going to go with Washington in this game, but I'm going to go still with Dallas for the division because I know that it gets a lot harder.
You do believe in Andy Dalton, and that was the question.
Well, I believe in that weak schedule that they got.
Yeah, that's true, too. Second easiest left of any team in the league. All right, next game will be the night game on Thanksgiving. Ravens and Steelers, NBC. Steelers right now at 5.5. That could change with the COVID news. We'll let you know. But, I mean, we were looking forward to this rematch only a few weeks ago. And, Bart, you even said, like, you think the Ravens would get that game on Thursday night, on Thanksgiving night. But now it's looking a lot different for many reasons. First, the Ravens aren't going to be at full strength at running back. So,
at all.
J.K. Dobbins out, Mark Ingram out. They both tested positive for COVID. Pernell McPhee, the linebacker. Brandon Williams, the defensive tackle, placed on reserve COVID as well. Tuesday's practice canceled. More positive tests within the organization, according to Adam Schefter. So the team has 5 players and 4 staffers who tested positive this week. So not only do they lose players, but they've gone only virtual practice in a short week, facing their biggest rival in what looks like, for the Ravens, a must-win situation for them if they want the division. Let me finish. So Baltimore's already without Calais Campbell. questionable. He'll be out again with the strained calf. They could be about three starters on the defensive front seven. Now, the NFL has said no plans to cancel or postpone the game right now. I mean, it's primetime Thanksgiving. You don't expect that. But Schefter said a source told him that if there's any more positives, the game could get postponed. But it's a prevent. I haven't even mentioned the Steelers yet. They're sitting at 10-0. If they win this, the Ravens are officially eliminated from division contention. Right. According to FPI, the Steelers have a 9% chance to win out and finish with a perfect record. But Pittsburgh, after this game, would be 11-0, and yet why don't I believe in them as a Super Bowl contender, Bart?
Because they still have flaws, and every team in this league has flaws. We saw the flaws of Kansas City against the Raiders last week. Would you be surprised that if Oakland gets in and they play Kansas City, that they can't beat them? I mean, to Mahomes being Mahomes with 1 minute and 30 seconds to go down and get the, you know, the game-winning touchdown. And you look at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, Ben still, you know, has hiccups where he has turnovers. And, you know, they really were struggling against Dallas. So you look at the first Ravens game. They were getting beat up. They should have lost that game, and that's why I think, you know, the Ravens still have a fighter's chance in winning this game, because McPhee is okay, but, you know, when you think about, you know, Yannick and Judon, he really became a rotational player at this point when he was starting at the beginning of the year. And then Brandon Williams is big and Calais Campbell is big, but they don't really run the ball to that tune like Tennessee did. So I think that they'll be able to hang in there, because they're able to slow down Derrick Henry into the last drive. So I think it's really going to come down to, can Lamar Jackson put up touchdowns and not turn the ball over? And Lamar Jackson's going to have to go back to vintage Madden cover Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
and
but say, we have no proof off. Of that.
Yeah, but what
no,
I'm saying,
no
I'm
proof.
I'm talking about taking off. Like, I don't care what's been wrong. He's been trying to prove to people that he can win throwing for the pocket.
Oh,
no,
I see what you're
go
saying.
Back to who you were. Run the ball. We want design run for Lamar Jackson. We need to empty the tank on him, because this is dire stress. We need this one. We got to put him at risk, at harm's way, so that we can get the desired result. He's going to have to use those legs, not the arm, as much this week.
Okay. Well, speaking of the Titans, that's our next game. Titans 7-3 at Colts 7-3. And how about this matchup? 1 o'clock Sunday. Indy is favored 3.5. 2 weeks ago, the Colts looked like they might be headed for 5-4. They were trailing the Titans at halftime in their first meeting of the season. Then Indy blew out Tennessee 21-0 in the second half. And got the win. Then they beat the Packers in overtime. That was pretty dramatic as well in that game. So now here they are playing for first place in the AFC South. And if they get the season sweep over the Titans, they'd be in the driver's seat. Mike Vrabel's Titans, by the way, rebounded from that rare second-half meltdown against the Colts to beat the Ravens last week, as you mentioned, late in that game. Tennessee plays that grinding style. They believe they can wear teams down. And by the end of the game, they're shot. And then, of course, as you mentioned, they go to Derrick Henry, the locomotive, and they run you over. Late in that win against Baltimore, Vrabel was heard yelling to his players, "They're tired, they're done," about the Ravens. So Phillip Rivers' resurgence in his new city is a big story, of course. It's a talking point. The Colts, though, about their defense, which is the stingiest in the NFL. Every yard you get against this team, you earn. Blitz or prevent? I'm going to keep it simple here.
Yeah.
This will be a physical game, and you wouldn't want it any other way. This game will be a brawl, and it might be a lot of fun to watch.
Right, and I always worry about, you know, a team coming off a super physical game, right? Because just think, the Colts had an easy game going against the finesse of Aaron Rodgers. What did Tennessee just do? They had a grinded out game, physical game, where they just went against the Ravens. So how healthy are they, and are they going to have live legs? This is a divisional opponent that knows you well and always gives you a tough time. They have the best defense in the league. DeForest Buckner is a guy that's been dominant. He's going to be an all-pro this year. And you got Justin Houston on the outside, and you got Leonard, who I believe is the best middle linebacker in the game. I think that this bodes well for the Colts coming off, that they're going to be fresh because they physically weren't taxed last week. And also Pittman coming back from injury and Tyreek Hill. The little fast dude. Anyway, Pittman. I mean, there's so many players in the league sometimes I'd be forgetting.
T.Y. Hilton. You can see your face when those things happen, though.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton, you know, coming back and having Pittman on the outside gives them more of an aerial attack as well. So I think, you know, when you think about it, I think the Colts should win this one easy. And it's weird how the Colts are always the team that beats the Tennessee Titans. I think over the last 25 matchups or something like that, they have like a 70% win, over 70% win total over them, man. It's like one of those teams that you just can't beat. The Colts represent that for Tennessee, no matter how bad the Colts are. So I'm going to go with Colts, and they're going to call game match blouses for the division.
Nice. We'll do our picks at the end of the show. All right, last game, Bears at Packers. I know. Bears are 5-5, Packers 7-3. This is a Sunday night football game, 8:20. Green Bay favored right now, 8.5. You're going to say, why the hell are you doing this game? Give me a minute and I'll explain. The oldest rivalry in the NFL meets for the 201st time, which includes playoffs. The Packers hold a 99, 95, and 6 edge in this rivalry. A more useful historic factoid, however, for this game involves a little nugget from ESPN Stats and Information crew. If Nick Foles gets the start, I don't think they've announced one yet. He's, remember, dealing with that hip issue. Then you have Mitch Trubisky with the shoulder injury. So if Mitch Trubisky can't start, either way, or if the Bears go with someone else, they'll be using their 20th different quarterback against the Packers since 1992. Why is this significant? Because since 92, the Packers have had Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers start all but one game against the Bears in that time. Isn't that amazing? Now on to things that actually matter. I know. You're gripped with excitement about this.
No, that's crazy.
But the Packers seem like a paper championship contender, don't they? Their record looks great, and they have Aaron. But a deeper dive into their season shows that they're soft on defense, as you've mentioned many times. And they're 7-1 against teams that are 500 or worse. So they're not really beating good teams. Meanwhile, the Bears stink again. After a 5-1 start, quarterback issues are at the epicenter. Matt Nagy giving up play calling. So why are we talking about this game? I'll tell you why. The Bears, despite their 4-game losing streak, represent the last legit bubble team for a wild card spot in the NFC. So a loss would pretty much set up the NFC playoff bracket with just the seedings to decide. But it's a prevent. Unless they lose out, Chicago likely won't land a top 5 pick. So should the Bears be a team that considers trading for Sam Darnold? See where I was going there? See how I was setting this up from way back.
Yeah, I like that. I didn't even see that one coming. I think they definitely could if they want to be willing to give up their first-round draft pick. So I think the Jets should be able to hold out for a first-round draft pick, knowing that they need a quarterback, a young quarterback that I think that everybody
I still don't think you're getting a first for Sam. But if you're the Bears and you have no quarterback at all, right? Foles is not your future.
Right.
Trubisky looks like you're pretty much ready to move on.
And
you're going to have a pick probably like, depending on what their record is, but 6 wins puts you at like 9, 10, 11 if you don't make the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
7 wins would put you even higher. So that pick versus getting a quarterback, or not the first round pick, but still, you'd think you're not getting a great quarterback probably there. Why not? If you're the Bears, think about a Sam trade.
So I got you, right? So this is how you do it. You trade Sam to the Bears, right? But you swap picks. You see what I'm saying? You swap picks.
What?
You get your quarterback.
You have the top pick.
Bro, no, I'm not talking. The Jets got 2, bro. So the Jets are going
to
get the Bears.
You have to make sure that you specify that. Because when you do that, my first thinking is, why the hell would I do that? Right, the other side.
I'm going to give the Bears Sam Darnold. The Bears are going to have a 9 or 10 pick, right? Right?
Something like that. It'll be between 9 and probably 12.
Okay, 9 and 12. We're going to swap first round picks. I'm going to give you 23 or whatever that is going to be from the Jets, and I get to move up 5 spots. So now I can get 2 dominant players. Damn. So now if I'm the Jets, I have 2 first round draft picks in the top.
I
want a second round pick. And I want a second round. Right. And I want the Bears second round.
Now you're asking for too much.
No, because guess what?
Like, you're going to get an unproven quarterback who I'm going to have to pay.
We need to digest this, because when you look at the chart, that's the value, or a third round pick. So what you do is you swap, and the Bears only going to move back potentially 7 spots and get a franchise quarterback and still have a first round draft pick. So what are we talking about? They're going to have a first-round draft pick, and they're going to get their quarterback. So then they're going to give me – you got to give me more than that. I'm just going to let you move up 5 spots and get a franchise quarterback that you don't have to pay for 2 more years.
TT with the one. I mean, where should I really even start? I want meat, but I don't with the dark. I dress loose sweatpants.
Rosenberg.
March. Thinking back to the years they were burned.
It's a rematch.
He's good, right?
Got 2 birds to fly. One is large. The greens are good, but they always make me.
Rosenberg, I believe he's going solo. Pete Solo on Friday on the K Show.
Pete Solo.
Yeah.
Maybe we should call in and spoof.
Oh, the show. It's not even the K Show. See, they just the takeover. Little bullpen coyote happening on Friday. You definitely must listen.
So if he's going to call the show, he's going to come out to the Dougie Fresh?
Oh, I like that. So, some more breaking news.
Oh, my God. Can't wait. I can't handle all this damn breaking news.
The Islanders putting it out there that Johnny Boychuk, the defenseman for them, the veteran defenseman, will retire. He had a lot of different medical exams and whatnot to see if, remember, he had that terrible eye injury.
Yeah.
Remember, he got cut. The eyelid was literally just split. He's lucky he saved the eye, but it's just not safe for him to play.
No one to hold him, no one to fold him, man.
And so he is going to retire. And so now a hole in their defense, but a great guy. Everybody, like, you just absolutely love to have a teammate like this. He was getting late in his career, but still. So wish him all the best, but a beloved player, no doubt about that. So that's happening there. With a lot of different breaking news today, no question. 800-919-3776. Damn, we're getting late. We're late into these segments. We're late into things we got to do. We're late into calls. We got other stuff to talk about. All right, quickly. So Mark Feinsand reported on MLB yesterday that Blake Snell is available for trade. This is after Charlie Morton left to sign the 1 year with Atlanta.
This was a team that was one game from the championship.
Hunter Renfroe was DFA'd. The declining options on a bunch of other players as well. Like they're doing what they do. So now apparently that they're not shopping Snell, I guess, is the wording. But considering that they've lost a ton of money because the pandemic, like a lot of teams have, and that's a very small market team, very low budget team,
man,
that it seems like that they've told other teams, according to sources, again, Mark Feinsand reporting this, that they're open to the idea of trading him because he's got the big contract.
That's crazy.
Although,
man,
it's not that big when you consider it, how effective he's been. There's 3 years and 39 left on it.
That's crazy.
10, 12, and 16 over the next 3 years. If you're the Yankees, I don't know if Blake Snell can handle New York. I wonder if he's, you know, because he can be that kind of guy.
Bro, if you're the Mets.
Will you stop? How many damn pitchers do you need?
It don't matter. It's as many as we want. if one go on discount, easy pass, like rollback Walmart prices.
Got to be sell high, right, if you're thinking about the race. So interesting name.
Give him Dom. Would you give him Dom Smith?
You're always
prospect.
Dom Smith, his ears must ring every time our show's on. You mentioned his name every damn
show. Dom Smith's one of my favorite players, but he's going to always be small here because he can't play first base because Pete Alonso.
Right.
So let him go down there and play first base. Who they got?
We
got
to move quickly.
Oh, they got Choi. My bad, they got Choi.
You got to love G-Man Choi. All right, we got a lot to get to, so let's just get through this. Again, Bart Hahn, driven by your local Lexus dealer. Lexus ES now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and confidence, take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See your Lexus dealer. So we mentioned that. Another thing I wanted to also get in the show today, and again, we got to do this pretty quickly, and we'll do a couple of audio files as well, is some Vegas win totals over-under for the NBA. And I find it very interesting the way this is set up, because there's one team that's off the board right now. Well, there's two, technically. It's the Nets and the Rockets. And why do you think that is? Well, they want to see if the trade's going to happen. If
I just want for your chance, man.
Yeah, Harden and Westbrook end up on that team or not, so they're still waiting on that. And the Nets could acquire Harden. That's the rumor, so they're keeping them off the board. Now, they did, however, put up this. If the Nets don't trade for Harden, the over-under would be 43.5 wins. Remember, it's a 72-game season, so it's 10 fewer. So 43.5. If they get Harden, it only moves up to 45.5. Do you feel like Harden only represents two more wins?
Nah.
Right?
Harden's at least five.
Like, they got the Bucks.
He can go hot. He can get hot.
Oh, forget it. Like, they've got, like, I find that interesting. So they've got the Bucks at 50.5. So that's basically, it's like 50-12 would be their record. The Lakers are at 47.5. Now, probably the Western Conference is a little bit harder, where the Bucks is not as difficult. Lakers and Clippers 46, then Celtics 45.5, Nuggets 43.5, Heat 43.5. I mean, that's kind of like what we're looking at. So the Nets, if they get Harden, still wouldn't have one of the better, over-unders. I find that to be strange. Anyways, Where do you think they have the Knicks?
I would probably say 25, 26.
Lower, Bob.
Damn, lower than 25, 26?
Mm-hmm.
Look at Austin Rivers.
That sounded so innocent.
I know
22 and a half. It's the second lowest over-under of all the teams. The Cavs are at 21 and a half with the lowest.
I would think the Pistons would.
22 right and there. A half. Would you take the over-under on 22 and a half out of 72 games for the Knicks as they are currently constituted?
I'm going to take the over because I think they'll get at least 28 because I think Tibbs is going to have them locked in.
28? They couldn't get 28 out of 82. You think so?
I think they get, because I think if they got them at what, 22?
22 and a half.
I think they'll get, I think.
So you would take the over or under?
I'll take the over because I think Tibbs will have them playing hard when some teams want to take the day off.
Mm.
So, like, they'll be fair. Playing hard.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
They're going to win some games off pure effort because they out-hustle them and teams think they're going to come in and go hang out in New York before they actually play. And then
you can't hang out because of COVID. They won't be allowed to.
But
that's going to be a
later
key thing.
But later in the year when the vaccine comes out.
Okay. But I'll tell you what. The other reason to be bullish on something like this is that the Garden will be empty. No fans.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, you know, other teams come in and they can't wait to show out, right? Because there's the buzz in the building.
Uh-huh.
But if there's nobody in the building, there's no buzz.
Exactly.
So you wonder if then teams that come in and stars that come in won't have that same extra adrenaline to perform on the stage if there's nothing happening in the building, right? So that's one thing to wonder if is, will this be a year where the Knicks won't be overwhelmed by the home by having other teams want to come in and, you know, show out on that court.
And I'm not trying to be funny.
Instead, they come in and they're just not, like, they're not into it. That could be a factor.
And I'm not trying to be funny, but people, whether it's New York's open or not, they're going to have work when they come up to New York. Trust me.
Well,
people come to New York, and they're going to overlook
the Knicks. Understand what work means. I hope everybody knows what he means by work.
Yeah, they're going to say, we got easy game today, so they're going to take it lightly. They're going to go out and eat together as groups, hang out, be around friends. There's going to be stuff over. Right, and they're going to
get that. They have work here, like they have work in LA.
Okay, we're saying women. Let's take the ground. They're going to be down in the Heights, Dyken Street, getting it in. They're going to be having fun, hanging out with their people. It's like, oh, we got the Knicks tomorrow. It ain't going to be nothing. Don't worry about it. Knicks going to come out refreshed. Tim's going to have them playing scared and playing hard as hell. And they're going to be like, man, hold up. And some guy going to be out there half hungover. No. And they may win six of those games like that.
Okay. Well, that could be the difference.
That's why I always say South Beach is undefeated because people go down to Miami and they got work.
Yeah.
And they go to work.
I'm glad you at least clarified what you meant by work. I knew what you meant, but I don't know if every listener understands what they mean by they have that work here in New York. But I'll tell you what, the empty building could be a factor in the over-under thing, could be a factor in the record thing, just something to keep in mind.
Don't fly L.A. work out.
There it is.
Yep, so we know the L.A. work, too.
Yeah.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, baby. So our team's going to be like this out of the three. So we've got Houston and Detroit. We got Washington, Dallas. We got Baltimore, Pittsburgh. Those are our games. These are the players we're going to pick for our daily fantasy team for Thanksgiving. Big Ben's our quarterback, Bart. Then we have... I just lost the list. Antonio Gibson. I'm sorry. From Washington. He's going to be our running back along with John Connor from Pittsburgh. We have Terry McLaurin, Chase Claypool, Amari Cooper's our wide receivers, Dalton Schultz, tight end, Will Fuller, our flex. Mm. And who do you think our defense should be?
I would probably go with the Steelers, man.
Steelers is right. Good call by you. That's our team. That's what we're putting together. Anthony, quickly, there was a read earlier that was emailed to me. Is that part of this segment or is that out now? Yeah. See?
Now listen, just food for thought.
Yeah.
Just food for thought.
Well, before you do that, I just want to say that this portion, this Lunch Money segment is brought to you by Fidelis Care. So go ahead. What were you going to say?
If there's one that we may regret,
what is
it? May be at the quarterback position because right now, Watkins is doing his thing. He went for over 300 yards last week. He's starting.
But you remember, we got a budget.
Yeah.
So we got to get the best out of our money.
But I would think Watkins would be cheaper than Big Ben because he's on a 10-0 team.
Yeah, but you know what? He doesn't have any of his receivers.
Watkins is the most expensive. Damn it.
How'd you know that?
I stand to be
he's missing a couple of receivers, so obviously it's Will Fuller, but he's missing a couple other guys. All right, anyway, so we're going to do our locals last since they play on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Let's pick our Thanksgiving games, Bart.
Gotcha.
So the first game is one that, you know, you look at it and you're like, what the hell? But the Lions always have to play on Thanksgiving. And CBS has them at 12:30. And you mentioned Watson. So Houston at 3-7, Detroit at 4-6. And even though they're the road team, the Texans are favored by 3 here so far. But again, some injuries on that side. I personally believe in the Lions at home on Thanksgiving at a 12:30 start. So I'm going to take the Lions, and I'm going to watch that game with purpose. You?
I am too, man. I'm going to watch that game because, of course, this is hometown. It's the one day where
that's
I hope that they win so my dad can enjoy his food. If not, he's going to tip the table and be in the basement drinking Crown Royal like he does. You know what I'm saying?
He gets
pissed
mad.
Off. He gets mad and he ruins the whole day. You know, so I think they're going to come out with a lot of energy. And also, they're going to be playing with the more emotion. And listen, this is interesting because this is the Bill Belichick Bowl because both of his assistants are the head coaches. Patricia's coaching for his job. He's got to try and finish with a better record. I think it's going to be a toss-up, but I'll go with the Lions as well.
All right, quickly, we got some breaking news here in the middle of this.
Again?
Yeah, no, this is...
Can't wait.
Dan Graziano reporting the NFL has announced the Steelers and Ravens has been moved from Thursday to Sunday, 1 o'clock.
That makes sense to give them more time.
So what they happens? So there's no Thursday night game now?
Yep, but you still give that game. Are they going to still give that game to NFL Network and to NBC?
Yeah, you, a great point. NBC loses
night game. Oh, that's right, because is it? I thought maybe on Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving's NBC. That's NBC. Thanksgiving night is NBC.
What I'm saying is Sunday night game, you know, maybe there's no Sunday night game on Thanksgiving
there is
weekend.
There is Sunday night game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Doubleheader? Maybe
no, well, no, this game is still a time TBD.
Right.
But so I guess they're giving the Ravens some time to get through some of the COVID stuff they're dealing with. But if there's no Thanksgiving night game now?
You want to know why? Because you know how important that game is for the loser, right? This is when COVID is finally kind of breaking in. And it's an unfair advantage. They're saying, listen, we can't put out the people that we need.
How about this?
Playoff life. They can maybe play it at 1 o'clock. Put it at 1 o'clock. NBC doesn't have a 1 o'clock game.
Well, how about we move... No, NBC can't, like Fox and CBS can't lose their games. But what I'm thinking is, can CBS move their game to 4:30? And can the Washington Dallas game become now the primetime game? But Fox gets it. Because, I mean, NBC might not want that, but I'm just saying, like, I'd rather have the eyeballs on my game at 8 o'clock than I would at 12:30.
So when I was with CBS, one of the last rules that they made about this whole Thursday night game is, when they were splitting in between two networks, was that if you can bring it to a bigger audience, they'll allow you to flex the game. So I think they'll probably give them the flex game. But if I'm NBC, I would probably want to play that game. Just give it to me on Sunday because they don't have one game. So they can have the night game.
Go doubleheader?
Right. They have doubleheader for their game. So that'd be okay because... No matter what, if the Ravens and the Steelers are playing, the majority of the country is going to watch that game anyway. The
Sunday night game is Bears-Packers, so it's also still,
right,
you know,
so,
even though you can't have a West Coast game that you could play late, though.
But you have two of the best rivalries in the game, so you can call it rivalry week for NBC, where you put the Ravens at 1 o'clock and put the Bears-Packers at the night game. So you still can have
Oh, you're giving NBC a day game, you mean?
Yeah, I'm going to give them a day game. You see what I'm saying? You give them a day game.
I don't know how that contract works.
But it don't matter. People still going to watch it. People still going to watch because that game is at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And if it's on the station where everybody can see it, people going to watch Ravens Steelers. Oh, damn.
We're running out of time on that topic. But no, that's interesting. All right, so let's not pick that game now. We'll take that out. So the other game then becomes Washington-Dallas, both 3-7. Dallas at home, Jerry World, favored by 3 here. Quickly, what do you got?
I got Washington.
You said you were going to take Washington, right?
I got Washington earlier. Because that defense is tremendous, and Zach Martin can only protect one side. Yeah. He's moved to right guard, so they're going to be weak up the middle with the Payne brother, the Allen brothers.
Okay, I'll tell you with the Payne brothers. I'll tell you what, Dallas didn't have practice yesterday. Short week. They got a lot emotionally going on.
Chase Young, Kerrigan.
Yeah, I think
Montez
I'm with you.
Sweat.
Although this is opportunity for them, man. Like this is, I mean, this is win the division.
But it's not must win.
It's not yet. But this is a game where you set that tone. Take over the division right now. It's hard for me to say Dallas loses this game, but yet Dallas has done nothing to prove to me that they can win a game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God. I'm gonna take Washington. I'm gonna do it too. I'm with you. All right, so the locals, man, we're 30. We have 90 seconds, by the way, so we got to be quick on these.
Okay.
And yeah, Jets and Miami. Miami on the road. Miami's favored by 7. Tua versus maybe Sam. What are you picking here?
I'm going to take the Jets with the points because I don't think the Jets win, but I think this is going to be a much tighter game. So I think that it's going to come down to the last wire, and I think that we may see what happened last week with Fitzpatrick coming in for Tua.
All right, I'm going to take the Dolphins on this one. I don't trust the Jets at all. Giants, Cincinnati, Tug McNutt, basically the quarterback for the Bengals. Don't even know who he is. Giants are favored by 5.5 on the road at Cincinnati with no Burrow. I'm going to go Giants here. You go.
I'm going to go Giants as well. I think Giants are going to make it very interesting. The fact that we're still interested in the Giants football in November, December is a win for the Judge and a win for the Giants. I think it's going to come down to the last couple of weeks of the season to determine who wins this division, and Giants are going to be right there. But I think they're going to fall just a little short.
All right, that's lunch money for you. It's brought to you by Fidelis Care. Fidelis Care offers quality, affordable health insurance for coverage for children and adults of all ages. Call 1-888-FIDELIS or TTY711 or visit FideliscCare.org. And this is why I gave out the thank yous early in the show, because here we are up against the clock, 15 seconds, and then we got to call it a weekend, and we wouldn't have had time to say thank you to everybody. So I'm going to say one more time to the callers, to the listeners, to everybody supporting our show, thank you very much. Have a great Thanksgiving, Bart.
In the words of Cole, happy Turkey Day, fellas.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.